First of all, I want to thank you for the encouragement of our time away. We had a delightful vacation to Michigan and Wisconsin. Let me just say the cheese curds hit different in Wisconsin. Can I get an amen in the back? Okay, all right, there's our Wisconsinites back there. Culver's is fine. Okay, Michiganders, but they don't have cheese curds, Larry. Okay. Anyway, we had a wonderful vacation. I had some additional time off, and I'm thankful for that and thankful for your encouragement of it. These next two Sundays, we're wrapping up our series in Exodus. Starting in August, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to come for worship at what time, Greg? 10:30. Good. A plus. You can graduate, go to Mississippi State. All right, 10:30. That's right, August 3rd. We're beginning our worship time, our worship at 10:30. We're also going to be doing our mission and vision series on the Lord's Prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, sorry, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We'll do the Lord's Prayer another time. Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. So I'll be preaching 3 weeks on Psalm 23, two verses each week, and then we'll go to John 10. And so that theme, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's going to tie into some of the ways that we're inviting our preschool families, particularly those who don't have church homes, to join us and to join in some of the ways that we're seeking to shepherd families in our community. So just know that's where we're going. So today we're going to be in Exodus 35 through 39. Don't faint. I'm not reading all of that. All right, or don't prepare to go to sleep. I'm going to read a portion in just a moment. Mostly Exodus 35 and a little bit of 36. And then next week, we'll finish Exodus with chapter 40. As some of you know, many of you have heard me say, my most hated phrase in the English language is this: some assembly required. You know what that means. That means, one, you got a lot of work to do. Two, you don't know what's in that box. Are they going to give you all the parts? Are they going to give you enough? Or are they going to give you too many? Are they going to be labeled all the same? Are they going to look all the same? You're looking at the instructions and say, use screw number 33. You know, that looks a whole lot like screw 32 as well. You don't know if the instructions are going to be in English. You don't know if the instructions are just going to give you a person smiling as if you're not going to be in pain later. Some assembly required. Now, let me tell you, I've graduated to some degree from using hammers in the wrong way in frustration. In fact, I've graduated to IKEA things, right? That's like the final boss of some assembly required. Additionally, if you've been to the house for our desserts, you can come on Thursday. We built a gazebo in the backyard. We wanted to expand our outdoor space. It's amazing. And when I say we built the gazebo, I mean not that we had it built. We built it. Now, here's the thing. I'll be honest. I needed some help. Actually, I needed a lot of help with that gazebo, and I got it. It's good to have an engineer looking at instructions. Right, my mind goes blank, and I start to faint. But having someone who, you know, say, oh, I know what that means. I know how to do this. Listen, I can just be the grunt physical labor toting things around and holding things up. I needed help with the gazebo. I've needed help with IKEA things. I've needed help with the little two-shelf bookshelf that should go together very nicely. You know what I'm talking about. Well, think about the tabernacle as some or all the assembly is required. How will all of this happen? How will it come about? Right? We've been told what the tabernacle and the furnishings are going to be comprised of, what they're going to be made of, the elements, all those things. How is this going to happen? Not without the gifts of the Lord used for the purposes of the Lord. As the Lord's people respond in faith and obedience to their Redeemer, and everyone gets to be a part of it. And that's what's amazing about these chapters, particularly when we're going to read in just a minute in chapter 35, I want you to pay attention to that aspect. And so my theme is simply that which I've just said. The gifts of the Lord are to serve the purpose of the Lord. So if you want to turn to Exodus 35 in your own Bibles or Pew Bible, page 75, or if you just want to listen, I'm going to read chapter 35 and then just a few verses into chapter 6, and then I'll make reference to other places and sum up the following chapters, particularly 37, 38, and 39. So follow along as I read God's word again this morning. Exodus 35, Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days' work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day." Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tents, its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars and its pillars and its bases. The ark with its poles, the mercy seat and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles, all its utensils and the bread of the presence. The lampstand also for the light with its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light. And the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the door at the door of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand. The hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court. The pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords. The finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place. The holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons for their service as priests. Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all of its service, and for all the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And every one who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the women whose heart stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastpiece. The spices, the oil for light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work of the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and Oholab, the son of Ahisamash of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer." And just a couple verses into chapter 33. Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord had put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work in the sanctuary. And they still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning. This is the word of the Lord. We don't have it written, so I'm working on it, and probably you are too. So here are the gifts. You heard this again and again. The gifts of the Lord are to serve the purpose of the Lord. And I want to highlight three things in that: the gift of the Sabbath, the gift of physical provision, and the gift of various skills. But let me orient you just a little bit to what's going on. We heard chapter 35. We begin in chapter 36. And then you're going to, if you were to read, and I'm not reading those chapters because they're unimportant, but for a couple reasons. One, we hear much of the same material in chapters 25 through 31. And we can sum up, we see that over and over again, you can see the headings, the beginning of paragraphs, he made, he also made, referring to Bezalel. But really, we've already gotten a sense that there are lots of people involved. So that's a way that Moses sums up the work and attributing it to Bezalel. But he made, he made, he made. It is emphasizing the obedience of God's people at this very moment. And that's important because they haven't always been faithful. Fair? They haven't always used the gifts that God has provided them appropriately. We think of the golden calf just a few chapters before. And so here we see God leading his people and they're being faithful in this moment. Now, the repetition serves the purpose of highlighting that faithfulness and also highlighting or emphasizing that it's the Lord who's given these instructions. He's provided these materials and he's now leading his people. So if you were to read these chapters and you say, if you do your Bible reading and you read these chapters, maybe even in a short period of time, I do a lot of listening to Scripture, and so as you go through these chapters, you go, didn't I just hear all this? Well, yes, you did. But it emphasizes the instructions, number one, that God's provided, two, the gifts that they avail themselves of, and three, their faithfulness. So that repetition has a purpose, even if as we read it, we go, boy, this seems redundant. Well, it has that in mind to show us God's faithfulness and his people's faithfulness in this moment. Now, chapter 35 begins with the Sabbath. It's not the first time we've heard it. We've heard it numerous times. It's the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. And in Egypt, Israel was required to do what? Work, work, work. Work, work, work. Keep working. Don't ever stop. Keep making those bricks. Keep working for Pharaoh. No rest at all. Whereas God's command is to work and serve the Lord and then rest. Find rest in him because we can trust him. We know that if we don't work, God is still at work. We can pause for a moment. We can reflect. We can worship. We can thank God for what he's given to us. And so chapter 31 ends with the Sabbath. Now chapter 35, so 25 through 31 are mirrored, not completely, it's not a carbon copy, but now in 35 and through 39, and you get this repetition, whereas that section ends with the Sabbath in chapter 31, it begins here in chapter 35. Why? Well, they're about to start to labor. They're about to have this amazing building project. And there would be a temptation then to not rest as the Lord has commanded. Far more than anything, the two things I really want to highlight is the gift of the physical provisions and the gift of the various skills. These gifts that the Lord provides his people are then used for his purposes. And so chapter 35 highlights all these various physical provisions that were given as gifts by his people. Now, I don't know if anybody like Legos here? Okay, thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Imagine getting a box of Legos, opening up that box, and only having the instructions. Would that be disappointing? Yeah, that would be disappointing. So imagine, if you will, that chapters 35 through 31 are those instructions, and now we're seeing the materials, the blocks, the Legos. In this case, it's various stones, it's various linens, it's goat skin, it's all these different things that God's people are bringing. And we heard in verse 29 of chapter 35 that it's a free will offering. So this is distinguished, and I've mentioned this before, it's distinguished from those offerings that are commanded, those tithes, the tenth, all the things that are a command of the Lord. Here it's God's people being moved by the Spirit to bring all of these things freely, of their own volition, without command, other than the command that the tabernacle is in and of itself. And as they do that, they're reflecting the Lord has redeemed them. They're reflecting the Lord is empowering them by the Holy Spirit. And it's in acknowledgement that what they have is ultimately from the Lord in the first place. And it's going to be used for a larger gift. The larger gift is God's presence with his people. As the tabernacle is his place with a sinful people, and yet making a way for them to be in his presence and he with them. And so you hear in verse 21 and 22, and they came, who? Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, for all its service and for the holy garments, so that they came both men and women. Verse 22 says, all who were of willing heart brought all of these various things. Everyone, it's hard for me to imagine, they're not mentioned specifically, but it's hard for me to imagine children not being a part of that. As their parents or aunts and uncles are bringing their various things, if children wanting to participate in that process, everyone is a part of this. And so much so that in chapter 36, I kind of stopped before we got to this point, but everybody kept bringing things that Moses had to say, stop. We don't need anything else. Thank you. But we can't handle all this. And at the end of chapter 38, you get a summation of all of the materials that were given, how many talents and shekels and of gold and all these different things. And someone else can do the math and do the, I started to do this. I think it was like 2,200 pounds of gold is what it equaled. That's a lot of gold, folks. All right, so you can do the math on the rest of things. That's the end of chapter 38 if you want to do that. That's your homework. But let's just say it's a lot. God's people provided exactly what was needed through the gift of those physical provisions. But also, all these materials are meaningless without people skilled to build and construct and to weave and to assemble. Otherwise, it's just that Lego instruction saying, hey, you can build a space shuttle out of Legos. But without the material and without the skill to build it, all you have is the idea and the materials. And so the reality is that the tabernacle requires the response of faith from the various people with their skills to do all these things. So look at verse 34. In chapter 35, if you want to, verse 34, and he has inspired him to teach both him and Aholiab, the son of Ahasuerus of the tribe of Dan. What is that? What was the context of that? These are skilled men. They're the master's craftsmen, but they're skilled to teach others. It wasn't just these two men. It was many others. It wasn't just men. It was men and women. that were involved in a variety of ways using their skills for the glory of God in the construction of the tabernacle and all of these various things. And it required the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we hear it in chapter 1 and we hear it again in chapter 35 and 36 that the Holy Spirit empowers those skills to be used. And so again, there's this repetition referring to Bezalel. It starts in the middle of chapter 36. He made, but we know it wasn't just him, as I said earlier. And then chapter 39 emphasizes the completion of the work. All these things being built, the construction or the erecting of it's going to come in chapter 40 of the tabernacle, and we'll cover that next week. But look at the end of chapter 39, or listen to verse 32, and then I'm going to read also 42 and 43. So verse 32 of 39, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished, and the people of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. And then verse 42 and 43, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the people had done all the work. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, so they had done it. Then Moses blessed them. There was a blessing in God's people using the gifts of their skills to serve his purposes in this world. And it's a gift when you do the same. It's a gift when you take the way that the Lord has provided for you and gifted you to bless the world around you. Yes, to bless North Hills, but also to bless the world around you. But here's the problem. The problem is when it comes to the gifts that we have, and the gifts that we use them at the wrong time. We use them in the wrong ways, and we use them to the wrong ends. We sometimes jokingly call it instructions destructions. I think that came from Lydia's family, and sometimes it does feel like I'm not building something, but destroying something. But the problem in that case is not with the instructions, right? The problem's with me. I'm not skilled a lot of ways. But imagine if someone said, they're reading these instructions, and they said, you know what? We don't need that veil. Yeah, that's a lot of work to put that veil in between the holy place and the holy of holies. What if we just did without that? I know God said we need that, but that's a lot of work. It's heavy. Weaving that it will take a long time. What if we just did away with it? How foolish would that be? But have you ever, maybe building something, looking at instructions, even on a test, and you just say, you read something and you say, step one, step two, step three, step four, and you go, you know, step three seems kind of dumb. I'll just skip step three. Have you ever looked at a part and said, you know what? I don't even know if I need that. Yeah, and then you get to the end of the project and go, oh, that's what that was for. We can be so foolish with the things that we have, with the skills even that we have. We can be smarter than ourselves. Think about the Sabbath. The penalty seems severe as we read it in chapter 35, but here's the thing. If you work without rest, what will you do? You will hasten your death. You will bring it about sooner. You will serve under that death penalty. Whether it comes immediately or later, and it's usually later for us, we think that penalty is severe, but God is saying, if you do not obey this command, if you do not keep the Sabbath, you will indeed kill yourself in one way or another or many ways. And so worship and rest are gifts, and so we're to use them. But unfortunately, sometimes we use them at the wrong time. And so here's this repetition. Why is the Sabbath mentioned? Well, lots of work's about to take place. It's not just, though, that we use our gifts at the wrong time. We use them in the wrong ways. We're certainly capable of using the material goods that the Lord has blessed us with in wrong and sinful and horrible ways. And I'm not going to, you know, chapter 32, golden calf, right? You can just go right back to that. We're capable of using God's good gifts and turning them into idols, either forgetting the giver of those gifts, that is God, or wrongly using them And no, those idols just don't pop out of nowhere. I'm looking at you, Aaron. In a similar fashion, we can take the learning and experience and the skills that the Lord's provided to us and keep them to ourselves. We can wrongly think of ourselves as the source. After all, didn't I work hard for that? Didn't I accomplish that? Sure, you did. But not without the Lord. Not without His faithfulness. Not without His gifts. But we oftentimes think that we're the source and rather than the conduit of those gifts. And it's unfortunate, too. Some of you got a text from not me. Right? It was not me asking for gift cards. Many of you alerted me, and I'm thankful for that. If you didn't get a text, either consider yourself blessed or be disappointed you weren't included in the fun. But there's that part of me when you find scammers out there and you go, you're so smart using technology to try to defraud people. Could you do something useful? Cure cancer, please. We certainly, not in that way, but in our own ways, use the gifts that God's given us in wrong and sinful ways. And we have to constantly repent of the sin of the misuse of these gifts. We're not the source of them. We are stewards of what God has given. And we have to seek the Lord and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so this is something we have to constantly come back to. But here's the good news. If that's the problem, here's the good news. Jesus frees us to seek His purposes for our gifts and to glorify Him as the ultimate gift. When Jesus walked our path in this world without sin, it was not around the tabernacle. That had passed. It was not the first temple, but the second temple. Herod's temple, sometimes called. A temple that was built after Babylonian exile and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. The first one, Solomon's temple. When Jesus walked His path, He said, destroy this temple. He's pointing to Himself. This is John 2. And I will raise it in 3 days. And He was referring to His resurrection. Jesus came to dwell and to tabernacle among us. And in so doing, He revealed Himself to be the greatest gift that could ever be received. At the cross, Jesus gave us Himself. He gave Himself fully, beaten, mocked, blood poured out so that we, redeemed and Spirit-filled, might offer our gifts, not for earning, but for worship. And as we receive the gift of His life and His death and His resurrection by faith alone, we see then Jesus as that greater gift giver who pours out His life for us. And now we're empowered. And yes, we are seeking to use our gifts differently. Will we do it perfectly? No. Will we sometimes be selfish or fearful or uncertain and then start to cling to things? Yeah, I repent of that. And maybe you do too. He who had everything gave everything so that we who had nothing might be filled with His grace and become generous builders of His presence. Not of a tabernacle, not as a temple. But you, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, are the temple of the Lord. And you take the gifts that you have and the skills that you have, and you glorify God in this dark world. And that's what we're called to. And so as the Spirit indwells and empowers us, we're increasingly learning to use all of the gifts of the Lord for all of His gracious and holy purposes. And I want to do this real quick. One, I want to encourage you to prayer. Pray that the Lord would give you wisdom to know how to use what He's provided for you, both materially and also in your skill and your personality and your background and your experiences. Pray, start there, that the Lord would use those things. And bring your free will offerings. We are a little behind in our annual budget. Not horribly, but we're at 20,000 behind this year. And so bring your offerings as you feel led. We're not under the Old Testament tithes in that system. We're under the New Testament, which calls us to be generous. It's actually a higher standard, if you will, to give sacrificially, to give your whole life, Romans 12. to be a living sacrifice for worship and ministry. But we're not just thinking of our treasure. We're thinking of our time and our talents. Those are important too. Your presence here on Sunday morning matters. It helps us as we gather to honor the Lord and seek His will. Your skills are needed. Do you know how many classes in seminary I had in plumbing? Zero. I've done a whole lot more plumbing, and I'm not a plumber, than I ever anticipated while I was going through seminary. I didn't have any HVAC classes. I didn't have anything like that. Now, I am happy to learn and get my hands dirty. But I'm also glad when some of you who are a bit more skilled can say, Adam, let me show you how to do this. Because I didn't get that. And it's probably appropriate. I'm probably glad I didn't have those classes. But we together are the body of Christ. And it's not meant to be on me alone anyway. It's all of us. And I know some of you may be discouraged because of your circumstances, whether due to time or ability or infirmity or demands of other good and righteous callings that may keep you from giving your gifts as you have in the past. I understand that. When I was going through various treatment for cancer and recovering surgeries, I assure you there's a part of me that still carries shame that I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't be the pastor I wanted to be. And you've probably had your own moments in your own life. And yet, I love this vow. All the vows are important, but when people join this church, as some have recently, there's a question. Do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability? And here's what I say about that. Guess what? Our abilities aren't, they don't stay the same, do they? They come and go. Our circumstances change. But in each moment, to the best of your ability, that's the vow our church members take. And so I have to step back and say, I was serving to the best of my ability in those moments. Do I wish it was different? Yes, I do. But in God's sovereignty, it wasn't. And do sometimes I have to repent that I'm not serving in to the best of my ability? Sure. But really, I want to emphasize that our abilities change. And sometimes that will cause us to shout hallelujah, and at other times it will bring us to our knees. Some of you may feel thin right now. You're barely holding on, or that's how it feels. Thin because of your schedule, thin because of the demands of caregiving, thin because of financial stress, thin because your strength is gone and your years are short, thin because you are not sure you have anything else left to give. Or any number of other reasons. If that's where you are now, or maybe in an unknown future, I want to give you a picture. Kirk, can you put this up? I know I didn't prompt you to this. At the very bottom. Who loves stained glass? I love stained glass. Love it. This is La Sagrada Familia in Spain. It's that one that they've been working on for centuries, and they say they're about done? Sure. That's like construction on the interstate. All right, so you see the beautiful colors, you see the shapes, and you're attracted, and you see the whole thing, but do you know what wouldn't be possible? What you can't do without? You can't do without those thin pieces of lead. It's called cam. So you might feel thin right now, but I assure you that even in that, you're needed. You're loved, and we want you to be a part of this body of Christ. So, though you may feel thin because of your circumstances, know that you are absolutely vital, because we can't take shape and shine the light and be a reflection of God's beauty and glory and redemption without it. I know my time's up, Paul. I know. No? No? Okay, all right. So, when you think like that, don't forget those thin pieces are stronger than you may feel and are more vital than you may think. The Church of Jesus, including North Hills, will always be some assembly required. The good news is the Lord doesn't leave us without instructions or without the gifts needed. And one of my favorite quotations, and I'm ending with this, one of my favorite quotations from Edmund Clowney's book, Called to Ministry, is this: when he calls, when God calls, he gives. And when he gives, he calls. If he's called you to something, he's going to give you what you need. And if he's given you something, he's going to call you to use it. Because the gifts of the Lord serve the purposes of the Lord. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. I know we all come with different burdens and come from different places and different things we're feeling. But I pray that you would minister your mercy to us. And Lord, you would help us to see that you call us to use our provision, our gifts, to keep the Sabbath, to worship together, to do all these things. And yes, Lord, sometimes we have to repent, but we thank you. You are God, the God of all grace, and in Jesus we're built up to be a holy temple and to give you praise and to serve your purposes in this world. And I pray that you would do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.